So, Warwick, would you rather know how you're going to die or when you're going to die?
Well, hopefully I don't get blindsided like I do with these questions from you. Gee, that's a toughie. I think I'd like to know how, because I don't want to know when. I want it to be a surprise.
Okay.
That way I can just, like, savour the experience when it happens.
Welcome to the Tradies Business Show, helping you get off the tools and into true business ownership so you can spend more time doing the things that matter most. Now, here are your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark.
And welcome to another episode of the Tradies Business Show. And of course, I'm Michaela, the female, and token female of the Tradie Show.
And I'm talking over the top of my co-host. I'm Warwick Walker Bidwell, according to one of our previous guests, Timbo Reid. But g'day, listeners.
So today we're getting all, I know you get excited about anything to do with numbers and cash flow.
I actually hate it. Really? I hate all that stuff. It was such a big part of my life, and I can't think of anything worse than looking at a cash flow statement. Just because I'm good at something doesn't mean I actually enjoy it.
So we get asked all the time about cash flow issues. So we thought that one topic we haven't yet covered is things like invoice financing and other finance options that are available. So we got Andrew Allen from FIFO Capital on the show today to talk through that stuff.
If you don't know what you're talking about, find someone who does. Eh? Is that what we're doing here?
That is, yes. So.
But good interview, and there's some really good, tips and info in there about cash flow, and it's a horrible subject that a lot of people don't like talking about, and I think part of the problem is that they're not good at it. Although I'm good at the stuff, I don't like to actually look at numbers, Michaela, so just remember that for next time. But I think a lot of people are scared of it because they don't understand how it works, they don't know how to do a forecast, and it is actually quite simple, and you can avoid yourself a whole lot of heartache if you just pay it some attention. So I'll stop babbling, and let's get into the interview. So chatting with us today on the Tradies Business Show, we've got Andrew Allen from FIFO Capital, and rather than me make an absolute meal of it, I'll let Andrew introduce himself. Welcome to the show today, mate.
Thanks, Warwick. Thanks, Michaela. Great to be here.
So, mate, tell us a bit about yourself, your background, and you'd have to include in there a reference to Timbo Reid, because I know it'd be great for his ego. But, how did you end up doing what you're doing today with FIFO Capital?
Well, how long have you got, I should say? Timbo Reid did play a part in my working life back in the late 90s, working in some marketing agencies. Excellent guy, and got a lot of knowledge, Timbo. My background's diverse, as I said, marketing, advertising, financial services marketing, and more recently working with FIFO Capital. The capacity has varied within FIFO, to being a business development manager as well as being an operational support person for our network, which is where I spent most of my time in the last 5 years.
Yeah, cool, mate. And what's your superpower, mate? You're obviously good at what you do to be heading up this organisation, but what would you say your superpower is, Andrew?
I'd like to think I get a good handle on businesses fairly quickly with respect to their needs and I guess empathise with that and come up with a solution. So it's about being agile and but thinking on your feet and thinking of a fast solution. And that's reflective of who we are as a business as well. We try to do things quickly, and because as we'll talk to in a minute, cash flow is something which is typically has an urgency about it. And that's certainly where I feel as one of my major strengths are, Warwick.
Cool, mate, cool. And look, before we get into all of the really sexy cash flow stuff, just have to ask you, mate, are you a DIYer or do you prefer to get the professionals in and save yourself a bit of face, mate?
I like to do a bit of both, actually. I like to outsource, so just hedging my bets a little bit for the audience. But let me tell you that I'm using some good tradies at the moment around the place, and I'd like to get in there and help them out as well. So, but then again, if it's a little bit too tricky for me, I know I'll get the job done faster with some good quality tradies around the place.
So any pet projects you're really proud of that you've done yourself?
In the last fortnight, I've painted with a roller about 30 metres of a rendered fence about 3 metres high. Wow. I didn't do the rendering, but I got the roller out with the paint and shoveling a bit of dirt.
I rank painting up there as one of my most despised tasks, mate. I painted a whole house quite a few years ago and I swore never to do it again. It was horrendous.
Yeah, there's some better people out there than me who can do it much more efficiently and do a much better job too.
Absolutely. So, Andrew, cash flow, mate, it's something that I think confounds a lot of businesses, and I know a lot of the tradies we talk to, it can present a huge challenge, and it becomes such an emotional issue for them as well, because I think what you said at the top of the show said it well, is it's it has this urgency around it. So, I mean, I guess in the first place, it'd be better to avoid getting into cash flow strife. What are some of the things that you see bring businesses undone, and I guess particularly trade-based businesses?
Yeah, look, and we do speak to a lot of trade-based businesses. What we see, Warwick and Michaela, is a lot of the guys, I mean, they're not typically very large, and what happens when they're doing the day-to-day stuff, working for people, you know, putting some cladding up on a back fence, that's where most of their time's consumed. And so when it comes to invoicing and collections, getting money, which they need to pay their, you know, the subbies that work for them, for example, it's one of the things they do often, what they do last. The guys who are organized or the tradies who are organized will often have someone in the back office helping them. But if you're doing it yourself, it's, you know, you're too busy working on in the business as opposed to getting those invoices out. And that's one of the things where it's not treated with the importance or the urgency that it should be.
Yeah, I know I had a client recently that went to the bank to try and get some money, and they said, oh, look, you know, we can't really lend you any. And he said, well, I've got 100 grand worth of invoicing I haven't done yet. You know, and it was just like, man, that should be a priority in your business.
Yeah, it's quite ironical on that side of things, because quite often they'll come to us and we'll see those situations, or we'll hear those financial sort of stress positions where they could have easily overcome them in the early on in the piece. And certainly the invoicing, and as I like to do when the tradies come around to my place, not working in this business, the first thing I ask them is, can I put some money in your bank account straight away? Because I want them to be able to pay their staff. I have a very sympathetic ear, and strangely enough, they often say no, which is which bothers me at the same time, as well as, you know, I'm happy not to, but at the same time, I don't want to see them under financial duress during the course of the project.
I'm sure they wouldn't know what to do if they got asked that question. I think you'd probably be the first and only one that ever says, please, can I give you money early?
It's working this game that you certainly realise what the stresses are under.
And I suppose, you know, if we just jump straight into it, mate, once someone does find themselves in that unfortunate situation of not having enough money to pay wages on Friday, or, you know, they're on stop credit with some suppliers, what are some of the options that are actually available to them, apart from phoning their debtors and collecting some money themselves?
Yeah, look, the key thing you point out there, Warwick, is a timing issue, and that's the challenge. I mean, you're talking about paying salaries, which, you know, we're talking every week or fortnight, typically. And then things which have got, as we said early on in the piece, urgency about them. And that in itself makes the finance options quite limiting. I mean, if you've got an overdraft set up with a bank, that's fantastic. And if you can draw down on that, that's typically your best solution. Not always accessible. The banks want typically real estate security with a lot of their lending, overdrafts inclusive. So if you don't have that, in place, you are quite limited. Certainly, if you've got receivables owing and if they're overdue, the first port of call should be getting on the phone and treating that as the most urgent thing there. That's your lowest hanging fruit, if you want to call it that, and getting that money through the door, which is already owed and overdue or coming up to be paid. If you can't access your money there, then if you don't have money to inject privately, or have an investor in your back corner, or just someone who can lend you the money privately. And let me tell you, we see this. We see they'll come to us and they've exhausted all these avenues. And at that point, there are options. And what is known as in the invoice finance space, and I know we're sort of leading to the pointy part of this webinar, but if you can tap into your receivables, which are, outstanding but might not be due for another 4 or 5 weeks, then that could well be, not always the case, but it could well be the fastest and most flexible way to help yourself, help the business.
So you mentioned overdrafts in there, Andrew, and it's a question that, I get asked a bit by tradespeople, is when is the best time to go and get some of that non-urgent funding? You know, when should I go and get an overdraft in my business? Should I wait until I need it, or, you know, is there a better time to go and apply for one?
Look, the timing, obviously the earlier the better, and it really comes down to knowing, looking ahead and looking beyond the next 4 weeks, the next 2 months. It's being able to see those ebbs and flows potentially in your business and see when you're going to have those cash flow gaps. If you're that organized, and it's easier said than done, as I sit here and we see it every day, if you can spot a gap coming up, then that will make it easier, take the pressure off you when you do talk to the bank, and certainly project an image of, you've got your house in order to say, look, in 3 months' time, I know I'm going to have cash flow issues. I know that, you know, the weather's going to be bad. There's going to be invoices. The work's going to slow a little bit. I'm going to need some cash to keep me just humming through this, what might be a seasonal patch. Then that's a great start. And because the banks will take time to set that up. But the earlier the better, Warwick. Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, I've got a classic example at the moment of a client who basically, you know, texted me over the Easter weekend in a flat panic because he was down to $500 in his bank account and didn't know how he was actually going to make the $12,000 worth of payments that were due in the next 7 to 10 days. You know, we did that. I've got them on the phone and chasing debtors, and fortunately, you know, work came in, and all of a sudden they've got $6,000 or $8,000 in the bank again. But it was a bit of a dice with death at that stage. And unfortunately, that's when a lot of people start to think about doing something is often when it's too late, isn't it?
Look, it is, it's easier, as I said before, easier said than done to be organised, and that's, you almost need to allocate that, you know, those 2 hours a week or a fortnight just to sit down and work out what's coming in and what's going to go out. But gee, you don't want to be getting text messages or in that position where you have to send out distress calls over a weekend because you can't meet pay your salaries, or, you know, if the project stops, then the business stop. If you can't pay your staff, you don't have a business, really. So yeah, the options are going to be limited in such a short space of time, as I alluded to before.
So if it does become dire and they can't get the overdraft, the bank won't help them, they don't have other options, what options are there for sort of last-minute urgent kind of cash flow invoice funding?
Well, there's not a lot out there, and it really comes down to the position of, as we said before, once you've dismissed the opportunity of getting money from banks or private sources, you're really left with what is invoice finance. And the reason why you're limited to invoice finance, because it's really it's the fastest and most flexible arrangement opportunity you can have with respect to sourcing this money.
And so how does that work?
It works, it's a simple process. It works in the same way, and this, I always use this example, it works in the same way as offering your customers a discount for paying your invoices early. So if you raise an invoice today and you said offer your customer a term to pay it today, chances are they'll probably take it up. They might take it, offer a discount term off the invoice. There's a pretty good chance you'd be happy to forego a bit of money to get it paid in your bank account today. Invoice finance works fundamentally in that same way, where instead of offering it to your customer, you get a company like FIFO Capital, and apologies for the plug early in the piece. But certainly what we look at is we'll pay for a portion of that invoice straight away, provided it's not over, you know, it's not overdue, of course, and your customer is reasonably rock solid. We'll pay around 80% of that straight away, and then when the invoice is paid in full, then we give you back the balance of the 20% and then take a fee off at the back end. So not only will you get the cash in your bank account or larger proportion of it today or within 24 hours, you could actually, get the balance of it and pay the fees associated with that at the back end of the invoice period. So more importantly, you don't have to stump up cash or a fee of any sort to get this up and running, because you don't have the money to do that.
And it really can be that quick, can't it, Andrew? I mean, I know a bit about what you guys do, but you talked about 24 hours, and I know there's obviously some disclaimers and stuff around that, but it can actually be within a day or two that you could have the majority of those funds in your bank account.
Oh, spot on. Look, it's as fast as you say, once the checks and balances are done, which typically once it might take 24 hours to set up, but once you're set up and you've got that invoice that's just been raised and we can verify that the invoice is accurate and true and correct, then at that point it's really as fast as it can be transferred through internet banking. It's that simple. And look, if you need it really urgently, then we can always run down. And what we do is we offer a local telegraphic transfer service. So in other words, you could get it within 4 hours if the invoice that you'd like to allocate to our finance is put through before, say, midday. So it can be really quick, really fast, and you can put that money to use very quickly and, I guess, sleep at night.
And so what kind of information do listeners have to provide if they want to get this kind of finance as far as the checks and balances that you need to do?
Yeah, look, the information is as much as you can supply, and we give them a checklist. I mean, our business certainly does, provides it, makes it simple, a checklist of items that we do require, and that might be how many invoices that are owed to you, so your accounts receivable ledger, or, as well as seeing how much money's going out the door. If you've got a bookkeeper who's working behind the scenes and can punch out a profit and loss statement, for example, last year's financials, that's extremely useful. We know that not all businesses have that at their fingertips, so we start to collate as much information as we can. We obviously need ID, typically a 100-point check type thing to make sure you are who you say you are. Bit of a track record, might have to see your bank statements as well as past invoices that you've been raised and show that your customers has paid on time. So it's about seeing where the business was at, so the financial information that supports that, as well as where you're at today.
So it's really not that onerous as far as, and you think about the hoops that people have to jump through to get bank lending these days. We're talking probably a lot less than that as far as the extent of information that's got to be provided.
That's exactly right, yeah. The banks have got their credit rules are a little bit different as well, so they'll use that information plus some more as you indicate, Warwick. And to do that, they've got to have to go through some layers in their risk department. They're designed to, if you wanted to get an overdraft, you're probably looking, or any form of major lending, is a 3 to 4, 5, 6 week process on a good day.
Yeah, which is probably 5 weeks too long for a lot of people in there.
Indeed, yeah.
And so, are there any minimums or things like that to consider if they're wanting to get some invoice funding?
Yeah, look, for us, the minimum is typically around a $5,000 mark worth of invoices. And it can go as well and truly above $300,000. The industry, or the factoring industry as we often describe it as, and let's be clear here, I mean, what our business does, and this is sorry to sound like a plug, but certainly it's a business I know best at this point of time, for an example. I mean, our business is not a typical factoring business, so it's factoring not as you know it. The big factoring players, big end of town players are certainly trying to service the large businesses, and they want minimums of in excess of $100,000 to $500,000 before you can have funding. Plus, they'll want a long-term contract, and they'll take the whole ledger and away they go. Very hard to break. So we look at a minimum of $5,000, but typically, the average for us is usually comes around the $15,000, $20,000, maybe $40,000, depending on the profile of our customers.
And so, we talk about factoring, and you said that basically what you're offering is different to that. I come across tradies that do have a basic understanding of factoring, where they've probably spoken to a bank before, or the bank's spoken to them about it. I mean, what are the major, differences between the two? You talked about the size of the client that they're looking for, but are there any other things that people should be aware of before they do make a decision about selling their whole book or anything like that?
Yeah, look, there are a number of, I'm sure you see them every day, businesses who need larger amounts of money, as I indicated before. It comes down to their needs. But for them, the thing about factoring, or traditional factoring, is when we spoke about your receivables ledger or the amounts payable to your business, a factoring company will want to make sure that they can secure all of that. And for them, that's how they can reduce their risk. Over time, their fees become, relative to what we do on a day-to-day basis, might be cheaper. But in the long term, however, their fees are multiplied against a larger book. So where we are factoring, but not as you know it, in the same principle, we'll take invoices off the ledger. However, they'll be hand-chosen, and anything we transact with or fund against will only be against those one or two invoices. And the agreement's in place that once that invoice is paid in full, then there's no arrangement left in place until you call upon us again. So with the factoring arrangements, they typically like a 12-month minimum. And once you're in there, there are financial penalties to sever those relationships. So the questions I'll be asking the listeners out there, Warwick and Michaela, is what are your needs? If it's something you need on an ad hoc basis, or you're predicting a bit of seasonality, ebbs and flows, where you're going to have some cash flow gaps on and off during the year, then certainly something like our product, I call it the single invoice finance product, is probably fits your corner better. Whereas if you're looking for something ongoing, your turnover is quite large, and when I say large, it might be in excess of $1 to $5 million per annum on that scale, then at that point it may be more cost effective, and I say maybe, to go with a factoring company. However, just bear in mind, as I said before, once you're in there, it's very hard to break that cycle.
It really is about the time frame, and I guess there's more involved in doing that full factoring thing as well, because they'd want more information about your business, I suspect.
That's right, and greater levels of security to protect their investment, because typically it's not a loan as such, they're buying a book of invoices, and there is actually another product at the higher end of town called Debtor Finance, which is really what there's two major banks in GE who offer that. And that's a loan against the whole ledger. It's once again, it's for really your big end of town players, and that's where the and there's billions of dollars of this per annum in this country alone, who use this facility, but they're typically large businesses to corporates, for what it's worth.
So you must have seen a lot of different examples, and I don't like the word case study because it puts people to sleep, but. Have you got any success stories that you can think of, Andrew, that would, I guess, highlight how this could work for a tradie tuning into the show?
Yeah, look, I do, and it's not a case study. It's a real life customer or former customer. This guy's name is Ron, and he was in an excavation business, very good business, and had a great reputation. Had his couple of his sons working for him. So what they did is they dug out pipelines for the major housing estate development groups, and they come in, they charge a little bit more per linear meter that they dug, and where they're at is they had the machinery they're running, they had obviously their staff or the sons who worked for him, and he didn't have enough money to pay for the next project. Like, he needed to, some of the equipment he had to lease had to bring in specialist equipment. And he just needed to release some money to get the next project underway. So he's actually growing. He had some businesses in demand. Great story. And so what we did, he found one or two invoices, one invoice worth about $20,000. So we funded that straight away. We gave him about $16,000 of that. And he immediately put it to use, got the next project on the go. And he had the confidence. You could see the spring in his step, that he knew that if he got another project, he'd have enough money or have enough invoices to bring forward through us to pay his subbies to work the machinery and dig up the next lot of pipeline for his customers. And all of a sudden, you could just see the growth happening. Great story. Ron's business is still thriving extremely well today.
And I guess it raises a great point too, is, we talk about people getting into cash flow stress, and it probably conjures up images of I suppose, poor financial management, or maybe not keeping an eye on their books or their debtors or whatever. But it could actually be because they're growing and their business is in demand, as you said with that example of Ron, the excavator guy, and they just can't fund that next project, you know, whether it's borrowing materials or engaging subbies to get underway. So it can actually help a business grow more so than anything else.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, if you wanted to take that money, if your margins are reasonably healthy, you could just, if by bringing the money forward and commencing the next project maybe 2 weeks ahead of schedule, then all of a sudden you can imagine, or 2 weeks ahead of what you probably would have been able to do without the funding. Or if you do shave off 2 weeks every six weeks or so, you can imagine that over the year, and your business will start to grow, and you'll be able to put that money to good use, and they make those margins on it. And that's what we see. We see a lot of our businesses go from a flat position to a real scale up position because they can all of a sudden do that.
So one thing we always like to ask our guests is, if you had 1,000 tradies in the room, what would be the one message you'd like to give them today?
Look beyond the banks when it comes to financing is probably my main message, that there's more out there. And don't stop looking. And sorry, Michaela, I know you asked for one, but I'll give you a second one. Can't help myself. And
the bonus one.
Try to if you can't do the stuff yourself about organising your business around your finance, then grab someone to help you do it.
Great advice, mate. And so, if anybody does want to find out more about FIFO Capital, Andrew, what's the best way for them to do that?
Oh, they can Google us, Warwick, at FIFO Capital. .com.au. It's easier, simpler to Google, and that's FIFO, F-I-F-O, Capital.
And you have representatives all around the country, don't you?
There's plenty of us all around the country, from regional Queensland to Perth to the far southeastern suburbs of Melbourne. We're cover the globe. Awesome. Not the globe, the map, the country.
The globe next.
The globe's expanding. It's going to be there,
Well, thanks so much for your time, Andrew. I hope that wasn't too painful for you. And I think listeners got a lot of value about other options they have with their cash flow and financing.
Absolute pleasure, and I hope the listeners out there got something out of it.
I'm sure they did. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks. So it was a great interview with Andrew. And if you're a Tradies Business Toolkit member, you will also get an extended interview from Andrew on the 7 tips to improve your cash flow. So, Warwick, how do you become a Tradies Business Toolkit member?
It's a bit of a tongue twister, isn't it?
It is.
Who came up
with that name?
It's you. So the way you become a Tradies Business Toolkit member and get access to the private Facebook group where Michaela and I will check in daily. There's webinars once a month. There's exclusive content. So we've got some downloads and templates and stuff, checklists from some of our guests. There's video training that we'll be sticking in there as well, all for the princely sum of $1 for the first 30 days. Go to tradiesbusinesstoolkit.com and you'll see all the info there. And there's a couple of big fat buttons that you can click on and hand over your buck. That'll get you 30 days. You get full access to the site. And between now and the end of June 2015, we're actually making the ongoing fee a special offer for foundation members. So, you know, that's really super special. $10 a month. The big number of $10 a month. And if you stay a member, then your price stays at $10 a month forever. And you'll get all the new stuff, extended interviews, all that sort of stuff. After that, price goes up. So go check it out, tradiesbusinesstoolkit.com. If you don't get $10 value out of it, I'll buy you a carton of beer or something. And I'll deliver it personally.
Oh, wow. That's worth it as well. And look, we're adding stuff every month, every week to the show. It's going to build up into a great resource.
Good stuff.
Till next time.
All right.
You've been listening to The Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark. Want to get off the tools and into true business ownership? Find out how at tradiesbusinessshow.com.